A watched kettle never boils, and I suppose a watched tumbler never turns. Yet I kept at it and tried not to think about my total lack of experience and the total lack of progress I seemed to be making. It was important not to become frustrated. That's what locks were, after all, frustration devices, designed to make you give up. That was another lesson my uncle's friend had taught me. I tried thinking other thoughts, hoping, like last time, that it would happen again, suddenly, unexpectedly, like a fish strike. I thought about Lonnie Kim. I thought about Audrey Hopkins. I thought about Monica Martindale. I thought about Aunt Ruth and Uncle Frank. I thought about Oscar Renthorse. I thought about surfing. I thought quite a lot about that. I avoided thinking about Larry Magnolia and Dean Simmons. After a while, my toes grew numb from balancing on the balls of my feet, and my calf and thigh muscles were beginning to scream for relief. I alternated between kneeling and squatting. The lock face was at an awkward height, and I wished there was some way I could pick it up and move it to a more convenient location, say to a workbench, where I could work with greater comfort. Of course, that was why they called it wishful thinking. The flashlight, too, was a nuisance. How to hold it and aim it while both hands were occupied. It was too heavy to tuck behind my ear. I tried holding it in my mouth, cushioning it by curling my lips over my teeth. But that made it difficult to breathe and soon made my jaws ache. The best solution was to lift my right shoulder and hold it in the crook of my neck. But I could only do that for so long before my neck began to suffer as well. And I couldn't transfer it to the other side because the lingering effects from the clubbing I had received from the campus cop were still limiting my range of motion on that side. I contemplated trying to tie my socks together to make a chin strap headband when the batteries of the flashlight began giving out and I was forced to continue working in the dark. Not that this was a big deal, actually. Not like it would have been if I'd been trying to manipulate a combination lock. After a while, with no results, I began resorting to less conventional approaches. I tried warming the lock face with my hands. I tried blowing into the keyhole. I tried spitting on the tip of the rake and inserting it to lubricate the insides. I tried tapping it, rattling it, banging it. Nothing made any difference. After an hour or so later, I was totally exhausted, but the lock mechanism was not tired in the least. That aforementioned part of my mind, which was the dumping ground for minutiae, suddenly caused me to recall another bit of lock-picking trivia. Something that Houdini's wife, Bess, had sometimes observed. She said she could hear him when he was in his workshop trying to pick one of the impossible locks that people would send him in the mail, and she would often hear him mutter aloud to himself, "This is too much for me. This is too much for me." And then, a few seconds later, the recalcitrant lock would suddenly spring open. Feeling that I ought to try everything and not being worried about appearing foolish, I said out loud, "This is too much for me." More wrist flicks, no response. I repeated, "This is definitely too much for me." More flicks, same result. Once more, emphatically, I said, "This is too much for me. Flicks, flicks. This is too much. Help! This is too much for me." Still nothing. I took a break, and employing what little was left of the flashlight battery, I used it to locate a pew against the wall, brushed it off, and sat down. I drank half my bottle of water, then lay down for a rest, trying not to dwell on how chagrined I felt at my own stupidity, allowing myself to get locked in a dungeon without a single solitary soul knowing where I was. Not Monica, not Detective Lippincott, not Zeke, not even Larry Magnolia. I was definitely going to miss my morning exam. The question was, how many others would I miss? And how was I going to explain this to Dean Simmons? I fell asleep.